And Kathy Dawes now, along with Jardine Ingram, and she is licensed clinical marriage and family therapist in Manhattan with Pawnee Mental Health Services during Minority Mental Health Awareness Month. Do want to remind our listeners, 537-1350, if you'd like to call in today. I'm sure Jardine would love to hear from you. If you don't mind sharing, and, you know, we were talking, of course, about providers and the lack of minority ethnic groups perhaps that serve in that role. You apparently have chosen to do that. Mm-hmm. And explain how you got involved with mental health.
Sure. It was, let's see, I'm originally from Ohio. And so I went to college at Kent State University. And I remember taking my very first psychology class and sort of just feeling like I was at home. Like, this is where I belong. And the more I got into some of those classes, and I actually didn't start as a psychology major. And so the more I got into those classes and then started to having to ask for permission to take those upper level classes, I realized, like, maybe I need to be here. And then it was actually a professor who suggested that I come out here to Kansas State University for their marriage and family therapy program, which was at the time, it was one of the top programs in the nation. And so I was really excited to get into that program. And I feel like I got a fantastic education and I made great connections here. And so I decided to stay. And Pawnee Mental Health has been, I think, my third stop and just in trying out different positions as a mental health professional. And I feel like I found something that I really like. Community mental health is, it's hard work, but it's rewarding.
And in today's day and age, there just aren't enough providers in general when it comes to mental health. And you reminded me that when I gave my presentation on our Silent Crisis series that we did, gosh, that's been over a year ago now. And it's just amazing to me how there just aren't enough people. I talked, I think it was Bill Ryan with at the state level when I was doing that series, and I, with KDAD, I think, or, and he had mentioned how he had been very involved with Larned and some of the efforts there, and he said there just aren't as many people that are choosing this as a field.
Yeah, and I think because it is hard. It's, if you think about it, we carry around, you know, hundreds of people's stories all the time. And it takes a unique person to be able to do that.
In fact, you know, I minored in psychology, just so you know.
Okay.
I found an interest in that, too. And I remember child psychology in particular intrigued me. But there generally is a reason for the way we are. I always, and I guess maybe that's always helped me in my line of work, because generally the folks that come in, we all come from different backgrounds. And there's generally a reason why we react and feel the ways that we do.
Absolutely. And families are different. You know, no family, no two families are alike. And so you're right. There is a reason. And lots of times it's just based on your understanding of the world, your parents' understanding of the world, and how they pass that on to you.
And, you know, I'm sure you find yourself having to be sort of an observer in the role that you play. And I don't know. I mean, I know you have to be a little bit careful as a therapist, but some of the different types of cases that you see in your work.
Sure.
And I don't know if there are any trends or changes that way.
Sure. I work primarily with kids and families. And a lot of what I see is behavior related things that initially walk into the door. And then once you talk to a family and learn more about them, there's usually like something behind that. And so it's not necessarily an oppositional behavior disorder, but maybe an anxiety disorder or an attention deficit disorder. And so I think that at least getting families in the door, even though the reason that they come in may be a little cloudy at first, once we can learn more about their families and learn more about symptoms, we often find that there's other things going on behind the scenes that we can then work to help change some of those outcomes at school.
And there usually are some different ways to work with those. I have a family member, I'm going to be very careful the way I put this, who's in his 20s that I know has been through several different issues, and I think he's in the St. Louis area right now, kind of in-house getting some treatment. And it's tough, and quite frankly, he's of mixed race, and I think that's been confusing for him in growing up. And, you know, I don't know how many cases you deal with that kind of thing, or how you deal with some of those.
Sure. I think that because we are such a diverse community here in Manhattan, I think that does happen a lot. And the beauty of having providers who are of diverse backgrounds is that lots of those people, and oftentimes it's kids, lots of those kids can find someone who maybe understands where they're at a little bit better. And just trying to figure out where do they fit in, I think is a huge issue with kids who are of multiple backgrounds, is where do I fit? And so helping them understand that you don't have to fit here or there. You can just fit here, and that's okay. You can fit anywhere.
Well, hopefully we're evolving. I mean, I forget the latest numbers, but they're saying actually Caucasian now is going to become the new minority, and not that far away, because there are a lot of mixtures, which is, you know, the way it should be. Melting pot, I guess we could say.
That's right. That's what America is built on.
And I don't know, too, and as we mentioned with Minority Mental Health Awareness Month, you know, just any special thoughts during this month and things you want to add. I know it being recognized, of course, it's a time we all can just sit back and think a little bit about that.
Sure. And I would also challenge people not only to just sit back and think, but also to just consider, how can I make a difference? You know, I know the month is coming to an end, but, you know, what can you do to make a difference in somebody's life who may or may not be struggling with a mental health condition? Even just letting people know where they can get services, if you know that. You know, Pawnee Mental Health Services is a great agency. However, we're not the only providers in the area. And so if Community Mental Health Center isn't where maybe you feel the most comfortable, that's okay. We would rather you get treatment somewhere than to get treatment nowhere.
And I appreciate, you know, you being so candid. In today's day and age, it seems like we have to be so careful anymore, you know, when we talk about being politically correct and that kind of thing. But I think it's good to just actually acknowledge that there are some issues out there.
Yes, there are.
And I know, too, when you were talking about some of the groups that you work with, I don't know if there's different times of the year that you're busier or different things that you see that way.
Yes. So right now we're sort of on a summer vacation. So because people travel and the weather is nice, people don't come in as much, and that's okay. But around September is when we start to see a lot of things show up at schools, and the weather starts changing. And so we get kind of slammed with people coming in. And that's okay. We expect that. We're ready for it. We work very closely with all the schools here in town. And so we have professionals that go into the schools that make that access to care even easier.
Well, and that's good to know, too. And I know you person a lot of times will step forward and ask for help, but there's other ways, too, as you say. I guess you would get different references from schools and that kind of thing.
Yes. We work very closely with school social workers and school psychologists and counselors. I actually received a call in May from a school counselor referring a student for treatment. So that is definitely something that we pride ourselves on, is collaborating with schools.
And continuing efforts that way, too. And just, you know, as we look at the month and just specific suggestions, and I know we talked about the stigma, understanding, access, that kind of thing. Maybe we haven't really gone over symptoms of what a person should be looking for when they do have perhaps something they're dealing with. And just maybe, I know there's no down pat answer to this, but a variety of things that might be a call for help.
Sure. If you're noticing that maybe the things that you used to enjoy doing, you don't really want to do anymore, that you're having more consecutive days where it's harder to get out of bed and get going in the morning, being tearful or sad a lot of the time, even having thoughts of wanting to end your life or anything like that, absolutely those would be reasons to give us a call. And then also, so those are more symptoms of depression. Anxiety symptoms, which are also a very common thing that we work with, just being worried, almost like not being able to turn your brain off. Lots of people suffer from insomnia because their mind's racing when they have anxiety. And then also associated with that, having like tension pain, so like neck pain or migraines, or I've had some people say that they have tension in their legs associated with their anxiety, and difficulty concentrating also. So if you're experiencing any of those things, please do come in and give us a call.
Do you deal much with substance abuse issues with some of the folks that you work with?
I don't personally. What we try to do, because we have an office over at Hayes Drive, where all of the counselors in that office are duly licensed as substance use professionals and as general mental health professionals. And so we always try to refer over there if we feel like substance use is a major part of somebody's presenting issue.
And all too often, you know, we hear of the major types of mental health illnesses, such as schizophrenia, bipolar, manic depressive. But there's a lot of those in between where you're not quite, you maybe don't fit into any of those, but you really are having some issues.
Yeah, and actually with this new publication of the DSM, which is our diagnostic manual, there are some subcategories for people who don't necessarily fit into major depression or generalized anxiety. So we do have a lot of leeway back and forth where we can still get you in for treatment and get it covered and get you some help. And that's actually a good thing. If you are on the cusp of something major and you come in, your time in treatment might be a lot shorter than somebody who's maybe been dealing with depression for years and years.
You know, it's interesting. One of the last things we talked about earlier had to do with sharing your story with Pawnee Mental Health Services. And I know Robin has addressed this a bit, too. And nothing has an impact like hearing one of those stories. When I did my Silent Crisis series, that's what really made the series was the accounts from some of the people who had considered suicide and were, you know, just really down and out. And those stories really do make a difference.
Yes, they are. Not only are they moving, they're real and they're inspiring. And I think that hearing those stories helps people who are not in the best place know that there's hope. And because depression can be a very dark place, anxiety can be a very dark place. And if you can hear from someone who looks like you, who's gone through the same agency that you've gone through, who's maybe had some stumbles in their treatment, but they're doing okay today, that's such a hopeful story to have.
Well, before we have just half a minute left or so, is there anything else you're wanting to highlight? And again, it's been a pleasure, but just anything else you want to say to our folks out there before we wrap up?
I just want to say that a Minority Mental Health Awareness Month is such an important thing. Please do take some time in the last few days of July and just start talking. It's important to start those conversations. And, you know, if you're out to lunch with your friends or if you're having dinner with your family, just start asking questions. You know, what do you know about mental health? You know, do you have friends or do you work with people who deal with mental health? Just start making that more of part of your daily conversation so that we can really work on ending the stigma of mental health in Manhattan.
Okay. Well, again, it's been a pleasure, Jardine.
Thank you.
Jardine Ingram with us today, licensed clinical marriage and family therapist from Pawnee Mental Health Services, again, during this Minority Mental Health Awareness Month. You've been listening to In Focus.